Glory to God. Oh, good morning, Harvest. Sorry, I got to put my ears in here. All right, you know, we run to the Word every day. Amen. We run to the Word every day. Spent a long time running down this dead-end road, looking for that something that could fill my soul. Never found what I was searching for. Spent a long time running from my messed up past, but I can't go forward when I'm looking back. But I ain't looking back no more. Into his arms. No more running.
If you're part of us here at Harvest Christian Church, whether you're seated here today with us, you can be seated for a minute. If you're part of us online, we welcome you and we say this is exciting. It's exciting to be able to know that we have someone to run home to into the arms of the Lord. How welcoming he is. But we welcome you here in this place. You know, at Harvest Christian Church, we've been part of the city of Detroit for close to 150 years. Pardon? 95? No, we already... Oh, five more years. 95 years. Okay, I'm stretching a bit. 95 years, so close to 100 years. That means God said, this is the home of Harvest Christian Church. This is a place that we have as home. I was listening to a message last week, and the person who was speaking said, I would rather move my family to Ukraine, to Kiev, Ukraine, than to Detroit, Michigan. I thought, well, you just wait, because God is doing some amazing things. Today we're wearing our Detroit shirts, and Apostle Bob's got his Lion shirt on because tonight there is an amazing game. Our Detroit Lions are playing for a playoff that they haven't for how many years? Many years.
And 150. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Not quite that. But and I see Michael wearing his Michigan sweatshirt out there because just last week our team, our University of Michigan team, won a championship that was quite made them quite renowned too. And so many prophetic voices are speaking about this city, this region, and this state, the state of Michigan. So many prophetic voices are speaking about the fact that God is highlighting us. Now, why would God highlight ones unless he plans to show himself pretty mightily, pretty strong? And so God has a destiny for our city, for our region, for our state that is profound, that he plans to do some amazing things. And what so many voices through the years have said, that what happens in Detroit, what happens in Michigan, is reflective of what's going to happen in the whole United States. So God says, I don't want anybody to miss this. So I think that even with our sports teams, what he's done with Michigan and now with the University of Michigan team, and now what he's going to do with the Lions team is bringing eyes to Detroit, eyes to Michigan, that people would be not missing what God is going to do. But we're part of this region. You may be literally a part of Detroit, or you might be in Detroit proper in the Metro Detroit, or you might be part of Michigan. But if you're here, God says he places us in places because he has a destiny not only in that place, but he wants to include us in what he's doing. And so God wants to include you and I, each one of us, in the profound things that are coming out. He wants us to be noticed as he brings notice to the greater picture. He wants us to be seen, but as he wants us to be seen, he wants to be seen in us, doesn't he? He wants to be glorified in us. He wants us to carry him in the places, our workplaces, the places of, enterprise that we do, our businesses and such, in our homes. He wants us to establish his will, his ways, his presence. He wants us to be speaking his word so that he is well established in these places and glorified, because that's how he finds the doorway in to do amazing things. Not only has he made a doorway for us to enter into him, but he says, be the doorway for me to enter in to this city, into these places that where you go. Be be the doorway. And so we carry a great opportunity. We carry this. And so in doing so, we run home to him. We run into that place. And if you've been doing what we've been encouraging you to do, which I trust you are, in reading the Proverbs every day, today you would have read a proverb that says, confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in the awe of him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. In other words, living in our region is not going to be about turmoil for our children, but peace and security. Why? Because we choose to be lovers of God who live in awe of him. And the very next verse in chapter 14, 24 of Proverbs, and 14 and verse 27 of Proverbs says, to worship God in wonder and awe opens something. It opens a fountain of life within you. Within us, God said, because you have chosen to run into me and allowed me to come into you, there's a fountain of life ready to burst forth. And there's a way to make that happen. And it says to worship God in wonder and awe opens that fountain of life. In just a couple of days in Proverbs 19, you'll read this scripture that says, when you, that means when I, when me and you, we live a life of abandoned love, surrendered before the awe of God, here's what you'll experience. Are you ready for this? Abundant life, continual protection, and complete satisfaction. Yes. I mean, the words that the word promises us related to worshiping God in awe are astounding, are amazing. So what does that mean to stand in awe of him? What does it mean to worship him in awe? I think I'll give you a definition that I've found, but you'll discover as you do it much more than what this even says. But awe is a feeling of reverential fear and respect. It's like, God, you are God. You're amazing. It's wonder of his works. It's a wonder of his ways and a wonder of his words. It's a consciousness. To live in awe of God is to have a consciousness of him. And to be conscious of God, I mean the reality of God, who he is, his power, his greatness, his might, and all that, is to be in awe of God. Let's just stand and let's exercise that. I just couldn't do it without having some kind of a way even to extend that. But let's think, okay, if we stand in awe of God, let's stand. Now, God is a threefold being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's stand in awe of Father God. What would we declare as we stand in awe of the Father? Let's just declare it. We are in awe of you, Father. We're in awe of your majesty. We're in awe of your power. We're in awe of your might. We're in awe of your glory. Oh, Father, we are in awe of you. We worship you because we're in awe of you. Oh, how great you are. We worship you for your greatness, for your power, for your plan, for your goodness that is established in this earth in us. We worship you. And Father, we know that your word states in many ways, in numerous places, that you desire to put your fullness in your Son. And so we stand in awe of you, Jesus. We stand in awe of you and we declare you are full of grace. You are full of glory. There's such beauty that surrounds you. We stand in the place of awe of you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we cannot even express how amazed we are at your goodness and your will and your willingness to move in our lives and make a way for us to be established in relationship with you as a brother. Oh, and as a friend. Oh, we're in awe. How awesome are you in this place, in our life? And we thank you, Jesus, that when you did a work, you went and you sat on the throne of the by the Father, and you said, it's finished. Here's my blood. Here it is, that they might have my righteousness, that they might have positioning just as I have with you, Father, in your heart. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And Jesus, you made a way. You made a way for Holy Spirit to be poured out. Oh, Father, that was your heart's will, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in us. That aspect of you, God, would now reside even in our beings. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are in awe of you. Holy Spirit, we are amazed at the work you're doing. We are confident that the work that was begun will now come to fullness. We are confident that you are manifesting Christ to us, that you are speaking the very words you hear and bringing them to us that we might know them and we might walk in them. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your empowering, for your grace. Oh, yes, Sunday. We thank you. You gave us a language that we could even declare beyond our own language, the glory of God. Oh, we stand in awe of you, Father. We stand in awe of you, Jesus. We stand in awe of you, Holy Spirit. Yetorabasha, Yetorabasha, Kaye de Boshonte. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Hallelujah. We worship you in awe. Oh, hallelujah.
I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due.
You are, you're the center of my focus.
Jacob, great I am, King of angels, yet the Son of Man, voice of many waters, song of heaven's throne, louder than the thunder, make your glory known.
Be raised up
As you roar through us, O God, you manifest yourself, O God, like the Spirit was moving over the waters. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Like the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Spirit, come rest on.
this moment when I'm still in your presence. When all noise dies down, Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. Can't miss a thing. Lord, all I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. Lord, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I in your love and affection. It's the sweetest of all. So Lord, all I know, my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. You keep me here until we're one. nothing else.
And this rest shall rest upon you. For as has been prophesied, I am creating an awe of me here in Michigan, here in Detroit, here in this body, in your body. I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. My glory is being poured out through you, in you, for you to speak my word and to do my will. I see you. I see you feeding on my word each day. I see you washing in the water of my word. And I'm cleansing you and I'm making you whole. I'm lifting you up out of all that problems, lifting you up and giving you deliverance in every area of your life. So now receive me, receive my rest, and walk with me, saith the Lord.
Receive you.
Thank you. And he's calling us into a deeper intimacy with him. And if you know him as Father God, he says you'll know reality, you'll know truth, for he's the Spirit of truth. So let him fill you right now with his truth. Let him fill you with his reality. Let him fill you with your identity that is in him, in Christ. And so we thank you. You are our reality this morning. And we surrender ourselves once again unto you this morning. And we thank you for filling us with your reality, Christ in us. The hope of glory. So we thank you this morning. Just begin to thank him right now. Something happens when we begin to thank him, when we begin to worship him. He always responds. So
to welcome him. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Wow. Well, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I heard some of you, and I was tempted to sing. And it didn't say lions roar. It said lion roar. We got a thing that we do in our household when we play games, because we're all believers and believe in Jesus. When we play games, you can't play and pray. So I hope you weren't praying when we were singing Roar, Lion of Judah, Roar, because it's Jesus that's roaring, amen? And so, wow, let your will be done. But wow, it's good to see you. If you're watching online, it's a special day here, but I know that Don and Susie are watching from sunny Florida. I want to tell you, Susie and Don, it's sunny here too. It's bright, sunny. There was no clouds in the sky coming in. However, the wind chill this morning when I stepped out to walk the dog was 16 below the wind chill. Because the wind was 20 miles an hour, and the temperature was down to 3 or 2, so that takes it 16 below wind chill. Woo! But Jesus, amen. So we just let you know it's a special day here because Jesus is here. But tonight, you know, we are hosting a game, and I'm going to tell you that those that have tickets will make it downtown no matter how cold it is tonight. And I'm praying that those that are going to the Iowa caucus on Tuesday, you know, they say it's going to be the coldest caucus they've ever had. In Iowa, they got more snow now, and it's going to be, they said the wind chill could be 35 to 40 below. But we're just praying. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. You're roaring. There's a wind blowing across this nation, and a fresh wind, Father, a wind of change in the midst of chaos. And Father, we thank you right now in the midst of chaos. You're blowing a fresh wind of your presence, a fresh breath of Holy Spirit that's infusing and filling us right now to overflowing, that we're stepping out, Father, into these new realms right now. And we thank you that we hear the Lion of Judah roaring right now, and he's roaring, a fresh sound, a fresh wind of the Spirit is blowing across this nation. And Father, we thank you, you're stirring up that, Father, even as you're blowing on the political realm, we pray, Father, as this political process gets its feet started and set on the ground this Tuesday in Iowa, we pray, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit upon Iowans right now, even in the midst of the cold, that Father, you're speaking to us right now, and we thank you. Our eyes are not fixed on the process, but fixed on you, and we thank you that you are the author and the finisher. So we thank you, you're starting something, and whatever you start, you'll bring it to a fulfillment in Jesus' name, and we pray that right now. We pray, Father, across this region, in the midst, Father, of this next week as the temperatures drop. We thank you that in the Spirit temperatures are rising. And we thank you there's just a warmth, but more than a warmth, there's a fire blazing in this region and across this region. And it's a fire of Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit in a fresh and new way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. This morning I got up and my father was a fanatic for the Lions, so much that aren't you glad that we're at Ford Field and not in Old Tiger Stadium today? But my father would show up. He took me to one of those games and started a fire. We had tickets in the bleachers, and you started fires in the bleachers to keep warm. And I remember one of the days as we were here, and I was coming in, I told Apostle Linda, oh, I'm so thankful that we aren't meeting in Tiger Stadium today, tonight, that we have a warm stadium. But my papa would have been there, my dad. And so he's kind of watching. He's excited. He waited all of his life for the Lions to get in the playoffs. In fact, he was there at the last championship in 1957. He went down to that game, and I remember I was about 7 years old, and I was laying on my grandmother's bed listening to the game as it was being called. My father was down there, and if you remember that, they blew out the Cleveland Browns 40-something to nothing. And so my dad is celebrating just to see the game come back to Detroit. So, but we're here this morning, and you're here. You guys excite me that are here online. I just appreciate those that showed up online. You can appreciate the tech team and Steve and Michael, and he's going to get some reinforcements back there. And we thank them. We thank the worship team that showed up. Aren't you glad the worship team made it in this morning? Amy and Mike and Vince and Ron, and I thank you for you here. There's something special when we lift our voices together as one. Amen. And so thank you for showing up this morning, and let's just give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Again, the worship and just the songs, it's not songs we're singing, but we're declaring something. It's prophetic what we're declaring and singing. I mean, that one song, it was just quoting things out of Revelation. And I got a whole paper full of Revelation scriptures that I didn't know if I was going to do this morning. I still don't know if I'm going to do them. But it's important that we hear what God's saying. And the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a revelation of the Antichrist.
Thank you.
I mean, the only revelation you need to know of the Antichrist is that he's defeated. And he's desperate right now. It says in the last days, in his desperation, he's going to pour out all that he can to even to discourage the elect.
Yep.
And the love of even those that love Jesus is going to wax cold, it says, in the last days. But you're not waxing cold. You're here this morning, red hot. And so we just rejoice. But I'm going to share some things this morning. A couple announcements. I don't know if we're doing anything with the children this morning or not. Are we doing anything? I'm looking around. No one's moving. So I guess the children are staying in place. John, you get to stay in place. Are they already gone? Oh, they're having breakfast? Okay. Okay, they can come back too. They're having breakfast. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of the youth ministry, children's ministry. Just thank you for the faithful of those that prepared this morning, not just a banquet, a feast in the natural, but a feast to minister the word of God. And we thank you for the word of God. Will not return void to you, and it will accomplish what you sent it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're listening yesterday and Friday night, and a conference in Shekinah, and it was the winds of change. And the winds of change, the four winds from the north, south, east, and west are all blowing, not only on this nation, but the nations of the earth. And many words are coming that nations are standing in the balance, in the valley of decision. Nations are making a decision if they're going to be a sheep nation or a goat nation. And that's pretty serious. And I even heard one prophet that we follow and like says that America's even in that decision right now. The way we go, the decisions we make this coming year will determine if we go into being a sheep nation or a goat nation. And one of the things that we're warring against, and we're in a war, and everybody agrees that we're in a war season. And there's different. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. And we need to understand what season we're in so that we don't miss the opportunity that God is making available for us. And so we are in a season of war. Everybody I listen to will agree with that. You don't have to be prophetic. You don't have to have a sense or get a word or an angel from heaven show up to tell you, but we're in war. But we need to know what the war is about. And the war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And the war is really against the Word of God. Is the Word of God going to manifest? And we know the Word of God's going to manifest because He said it won't return to Him empty. But when will the Word manifest in all of its fullness is the question. And we're getting that opportunity because this is our opportunity. This is our time. We're the ones that are on stage and that all the world is watching. It's not all the political parties or the economic. It's the church, the body of Christ. And so last week we started talking about the Word of God and talking about the two-edged sword. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of asunder between the soul and the spirit. And so we see that in Hebrews, the sword of the spirit is a two-edged sword. And then we looked and we saw in Revelation 19 that when Jesus comes back, He's coming back with an army as the Lord of hosts. He's on a white horse, but He's in His mouth is a two-edged sword. And it's not a literal sword, but it's the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp and it's powerful. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, in the armor of God, and I believe this is the shift, and it's confirmation through the prophets and those I'm listening to, a shift in the body of Christ moving from the defense to the offense. We've been on the offense, and any team that stays only in a defensive mode usually doesn't win a whole lot. And the church has been in a defensive mode for 2,000 years. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. All the pieces of the armor are defensive except for one. And that's the Word of God. He says the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And then he talks about that sword as a two-edged sword, and Jesus put it in his mouth. He started in the wilderness when the temptation came and the devil tried to tell him, you know, change these stones into bread. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. He put the Word of God in his mouth, and he defeated Satan in the wilderness, but also he's going to come back and he's going to set things in order. So the word is what we're at war for. And the Word has to be in our mouth. And I want to just show you a few things this morning, talking about this year, because the Lord showed me the number 24. 24, three times I know 24 is really important. And I'm going to talk to you. I'll just read it first. Psalm 24. I believe this is a key, and I keep hearing it coming up over and over again. And I believe it's a key scripture for the season we're in. We've been quoting Psalm 24 all year, but Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. It starts off, and it's really about, it's a war on the word, but it's a war about government. Whose government is going to reign over the earth? It's not the global governments that are trying to rise up, not a one world power. But here it says, the Lord, the earth is the Lord's. So whoever's the creator gets the also name. So not only is the Lord's his, but he's going to govern. He's going to come back and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it says the earth is the Lord and all it contains. So not only is the earth and the world, but everything that the world and this earth contains is his. Amen. you can't separate, you know, the world and then say, you know, everything in it. Well, that's not God. No, God says the world and everything it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. So not only the world and all it contains, but it says and everyone who dwells in it. So that includes me, you, it includes the unbeliever. Amen. It all belongs to him. The world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And then he asks this question, and I believe it's going to be answered starting this year. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? Now, in the Old Testament, there was the outer court, and then there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, only the high priest was able to go. The other priests got to go into the holy place and keep the incense burning and do all that ministry. But in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest got to go in. And he only went in once a year. In the New Testament, and I'm not going to talk about this morning, but just kind of twitch your ears. We're in the transition from the order of priesthood, from the Levitical priesthood into the Melchizedek order. Now, you may not have heard the term Melchizedek, but the church doesn't understand that we're not in the Levitical priesthood of just representing man before God. But it says that Jesus is operating in the Melchizedek order, which represents God to man, but it's also a kingly, it's a priestly ministry. There's a priestly minister that ministers the sacrifices to God, and that's worship, but there's a kingly ministry that executes what God is saying. Stay with me. There's so much happening on the inside of me with the word right now. And he's really challenging me on some things, some really hard things. And I want to tell you all at once because you'd be overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed right now. Moving from this. In fact, this morning we just listened to, you know, as we were sipping our coffee, you know, I'd like to find something that's kind of brief that I can hear the encouraging. I heard an encouraging word. It was like every word scripture we gave last week. I go, how do you do that, Holy Spirit? Someone else, you know? It's because it's the same Holy Spirit. And I'm hearing this scripture about the two-edged sword and being in his mouth. And so if the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, then when the sword goes in our mouth, when the word goes in our mouth, it becomes a two-edged sword. And when you speak it, you're declaring war.
Amen, amen, amen.
Okay, I'll show you. It's in Scripture. But let's finish this. I got to get through this 24, before I get the next one. Who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in the Holy of Holies? And this is it. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. God is preparing his church, but he's also telling his bride to prepare yourself. Why does he want us to have clean hands and a pure heart? Because he wants us to come into the Holy of Holies, and only those that have clean hands and a pure heart. You say, well, I'm a believer. Yes, you're the righteousness of God, but righteousness is going to be defined in such a way and we're going to see this morning, we're going to get there in Revelation, the righteousness or the robe of righteousness is put on the saints that are riding back with Jesus, and Jesus is dressed in white, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but it's also the righteous acts of the saints.
Come on. Amen.
So you're the righteousness of God, but are our acts and our actions lining up with who we are in Christ Jesus? That's the conflict and the war that's going on right now. Okay, so stay with me as we get in this. But who may stand in the presence of God as a king and govern? And it's about not just being a priest and representing people before God, but it's about governing with him. It's about government. So the war that's going on across this earth, and nations are falling right now. It's amazing. All across the election. There was an election just 2 days ago in Taiwan. It's going to affect how China moves on Taiwan. Because China was pulling for someone else, but the one that got elected was saying, no, we're not recognizing China. We're Taiwanese.
Come on.
That's our identity. And China didn't want that. They say that, no, you're China. You're part of China. Okay. It's a major election that's going to determine the way Taiwan goes. I believe what they're saying is they're choosing that we're going to be a sheep nation. Our identity's not what communist China, and I'll say it, it might get knocked off. But communist China is out to control and shut down the voice of God. That's why they have the underground church. I got to get through 24 here. I mean, she's gone. Okay. Who has clean hands and pure heart? Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood? So he tells you what clean hands and a pure heart is. You haven't lifted up your soul to falsehood. So what's happening right now is he's exposing all lies so that the spirit of truth can come forward. So that our hearts are pure and our hands are clean so that we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and that we might represent him accurately. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and who has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. I believe we're that generation.
Yes.
That we have that opportunity to shift not only things going in the earth, but it has to first start with us.
Right.
If we're not governing our own, what's going on the inside and governing ourselves, how can we govern what's going on the outside of us?
Yeah.
We can pray for a change, but God says, I've already done all I'm going to do. I died, and all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. In Luke chapter 4, and several times you'll see in Scripture, that when Jesus got done delivering the message in Luke chapter 4, he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And he tells you what he's been anointed to do. But later it says, when Jesus got done speaking, they took notice that he spoke with one who had authority.
Yep.
He hasn't done any miracles yet. The word went... And the devil knows when you're speaking the word of God.
That's right.
And it's coming out of the purity of who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
And he recognized. That's what the sons of Sceva, remember that? The sons of Sceva said, you know, we're casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And those demons just, hey, we know Jesus. And we know about Paul, but who in the heck are you? What they were saying is, where's your authority? They recognized there was no authority in them. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't know him. Are you following this? We're going to move into a season. We don't know about him of miracles and signs and wonders, but we know him because we experienced him. And there's no compromise. Let's finish this. Lift up your head, O ye gates. And this is a year, not only the mouth, this is a decade of the mouth in the Hebrew. But this is a year of open doors and open gates. So this is what it's talking about. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Notice what? It's up to us to open the gates of our heart. The King of glory wants to come in, not just as Lord and Savior, but he wants to come in as ruling authority. Sovereign God over, ruling over every area of your life. He's not coming over just to take over your spirit man on the inside. He's coming over to take care of your thoughts, your actions, your habits. Everybody, you following? Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient of doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And the Lord of hosts is Lord Sabaoth, captain of armies. That's why he's coming back in Revelation chapter 19. He's coming back leading a group of army. And the army of those that come out of tribulation, it says, and we'll get in Scripture, that come out of tribulation, and don't think that that's the tribulation before the rapture, or that's going on during the rapture or after the rapture. We're in a process of tribulation right now. Amen? All of us are going through some things. There are different things, different levels. But we're going through it. And the battle is to take you out of your assignment. I'll tell you, the other battle is to get you back in your assignment. It was easy to get people out of Egypt. It was hard to get Egypt out of the people. It's easy to get people saved from their sin. It's hard to get sin out of people.
Are you
following this?
Yep.
Okay. So that's Psalm 24. That's what we're going to be living in. But the second thing I want to talk about, and I talked a little bit last week, was Proverbs 24. And it's talk about the wise man builds families, builds businesses, and builds communities. You can read that, but I'm not going to talk about that one. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, because I want to set this in place, because we're going to be here for a while. I mean, not today, a while. And someone came in and says, "Pastor, you got till 8 o'clock tonight. The Lions don't play till 8. I says, "No, I'm not talking about we're going to stay in there a while, but we're going to start a process where we're going to be in some time, because we got to shift the way we've been thinking. Amen?
Amen.
So here it is. You're familiar with it. Isaiah 9, and I'm just going to start with verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us." Well, the child was already born, you know, that was his birth as a baby. But a son will be given to us, and a son has already been given to us. When Jesus appeared in baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And again, when he was in Matthew chapter 17, when he went up and he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And the Father said to him, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." See, Peter wanted to build a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah, and we'll build one for you too, Jesus. But, you know, just in case we want to cover the whole thing. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So the Son has been given to us, and notice what the Son now is doing. "And the government will rest on his shoulders." This is critical. It's all about government right now.
Yep.
The war is about government, and it's not about political government, Democrat, Republican. It's about Jesus as King of Kings, King over all other kings. That's the ultimate government. He's sovereign over all other governments. Governments on the earth and governments in the heavenlies. So he's sovereign over everything. And the governments will rest on his shoulders. But then he doesn't stop there, and he goes through these names. But in verse 7, he says this. He picks it up and he says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace." There will be no end. That tells me that there's a progression of his government that's going to invade our lives and the world. We're living in a time where we're seeing such resistance of the enemy that tells me that something is happening, that government is increasing. We're getting closer, and people are talking about the end times. And we get in end times, we know the government of God is going to invade everything. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. Everything that's not under his submission, under his final authority, is going to be shaken. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, "And everyone will confess Jesus with their mouth and believe in their heart that he died and raised." Everyone, doesn't say just the believers, but everyone is going to make that confession. We're in the process right now. I'm glad for God's mercy.
Amen.
We say, well, we want Jesus to come. And sometimes I think, you know, I just want to sing, come Lord Jesus. You better be careful you pray that, because he'll come. He'll take you. But we want that. Oh, come Jesus. In other words, snatch me out. Have you thought about all those who haven't heard about Jesus? Have you thought about all those that haven't had the opportunity to hear the gospel? I'm glad for God's mercy, because it's statistics tell us that there's multitudes that haven't heard. Well, let's finish this. There's no end to the increase of his government and peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom. When we talk about kingdoms right now, we're talking about dominion, we're talking about government, we're talking about rule, we're talking about reign. So when we talk about government, we're not just talking about politics, we're talking about rule and reign and dominion. I mean, when you start talking dominion, it's different than just saying, oh, well, you know, a king. No, the king is coming to rule, and he's coming to reign, and he's coming in force, and he's going to have dominion. And he's going to sit on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it. So the government is to establish. It's going to increase until the government of the kingdom of God is established in heaven and on earth. Are you following this? To establish it and uphold it with establish that. That's referring to the government we already talked with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So you're ready to go to Revelation and see what it talks about 24. Here's the revelation ahead of 24 around the throne. Let's go to Revelation, and we'll see what we can cover this morning. We'll pick up next week. But in Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to give you a little tidbit here. We'll talk about next week, okay? Just kind of whet your appetite. The Melchizedek order. He says in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Revelation, and he has made us, say us.
Us.
He's talking about believer. He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Notice what it says. He's made us to be priest and kings. There's a shift right now moving the church out of just priestly ministry into ruling and reigning with him. He's made us, and I'll give you that, and we'll cover, you can go read Exodus 19. That was God's purpose for Israel, and Israel chose not to take on that assignment. They didn't want to meet with God. They told Moses, you go meet with him and you tell him, you tell us what he said, and we'll believe you. That was a lie. But God's purpose, and you'll see in Exodus 19, that God's purpose was to have a kingdom, not one person or one priest. It was his purpose from the beginning to have a kingdom of priests and kings.
Amen.
Yeah. Now let's go on here. Woo. Okay. In chapter 1, this is what happens. We heard this in our song we sang. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking, and having turned, I saw a golden lampstand, verse 12. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like flame of fire. John hadn't ever seen this Jesus. He only saw him in his fleshly ministry. Now he's seeing him in a different ministry. When people describe, they see Jesus, I hardly ever hear anyone talk about this is how they see him. But don't stop there, because the next verse, I don't hear anybody talk about. In his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Wow. So his eyes are flame of fire. I love that. But Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Now let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, he writes to the seven churches. You know what those seven churches were in Turkey. And this is what he says to the church at Pergamon. Verse 12, chapter 2. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamon write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this." So who's he writing to, believers or unbelievers? Because he's writing to the church. The stars are the churches, okay? And are the lampstands, and the stars are the angels. He's writing to the church, and he says to this church, say this, the one who has the two-edged sword in his mouth says this. And he tells him what he says. But look at verse 16. This is why repentance is so important. "Therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth." He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking, if we don't repent, when he reveals something to us, he'll speak, his word speaks, and it's the word coming out of his mouth, and it will cause war between you and him. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to the church. He says, unless we repent and come back to our original assignment, our original purpose of who we are in Christ, and that, he says, I'm going to speak, and repentance is more than just, you know, being sorry and being caught, as we shared a couple weeks ago or last week. It's more than just turning around, but the middle part we're missing is to say the same things he says about it. I'm going to be real careful not to jump ahead of myself, because some of you get mad at me if I made this next statement. Some of you are already mad at me. That's all right, but the word said, he said, John saw him, and out of his mouth was a two-edged sword, which is the word of God. And now he talks to the church. He says, if you don't repent from, this spirit of Nicolaitans that you've allowed to come in, if you don't repent of that, then he says, I'll come to you quickly, and I'll make war against you. So the war of his word is not just against the unbeliever. The war of his word is against us who have gotten doubt and unbelief and have moved away from his word. So I'll just leave that there. But let's go, because I want to show you this 24 leading into the chapter 4. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in the heaven." I believe we're standing in an open door of revelation right now. That's this year. Open doors. "And the first voice which I heard was like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, and said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven." What's a throne represent? It represents government. It represents authority. The first thing John saw was a throne in heaven. And notice what it says. "A throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like the jasper stone and sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 elders." The number 24 is the number, it's 12 times 2. 12 is the number of government. Around the throne are 24 elders, 12 from representing Israel in the Old Testament and the 12 apostles in the New Testament. 24, we're in 24. It's a year of double. Yep, 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 yep. Double government. Yep, yep. Hallelujah. 24, John saw this. So the throne is government, and around there are these elders, which is government. And the increase of his government, There's no end. It will keep increasing. But what does he say about these elders? Around the throne were 24 thrones. Here's 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. So elders were ruling with him. There's a throne in the center, and on that throne we know Jesus is sitting as the ultimate authority, but around the throne are 24 thrones. It's delegated authority. It's a type of us ruling and reigning with him. These aren't just the ones that are in heaven. He's saying that he's making us a kingdom of priests and a kingdom of kings to rule and reign here, to bring things in order.
Yes, amen.
All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. And it says in Matthew 24, therefore go and make disciples. Therefore, because all authority has been given me, I give you now authority to go do and finish my assignment. Okay, so 24 elders around the throne. Look at this, because this is really important. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. This is key. They were clothed in white garments. We're not going to rule and reign if we're not clothed in white garments. These 24 are clothed in white garments, and golden crowns were on their heads. So we see that there's 24 thrones around the throne of Jesus. Jesus is clothed in white. We already seen that. John said that. His garments were as white. In Revelation 19, it says he's coming back clothed in white on a white horse. If we're going to rule and reign in the government of God, then righteousness is going to be a main theme.
Right.
Are you following this? Okay, stay there with me for a minute. Go to chapter, stay here, verse 9. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne. So it shows that these 24 elders and these thrones are delegated authority from the ultimate authority, Jesus. But when the angels begin to lead in worship, these elders fall down before the supreme. They acknowledge it. Him as the supreme authority. And will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne. So all that we accomplish is all delegated authority. But when we worship him in spirit and truth, we cast our crowns, all of our accomplishments, at his feet. Because he's the ultimate. Are you following this? 24 is double government. We're moving into an age of increasing government. I believe it's acceleration this year. And we say, well, you know, it's affecting nation. No, it starts with affecting us. It starts with affecting us on the inside. We need to change and make sure. We sang that song. You know, I surrender. I can't remember the song. I just think of the hymn, I Surrender All. And what he's saying is, have you really surrendered all?
Yep. True repentance.
That's what he's going after. He's going after a total surrender. So that he can put this garment, this white garment on you. Now, I got a lot of scripture here, so stay with me. It says, and the living creatures give glory and honor. The 24 elders will fall before him who sits on the throne, and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power to you who created all things, and because of you they existed and were created. So we see that, man, this activity in heaven is all about authority. It's about government. And the 24 elders are delegated government sitting around the throne. In verse chapter 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So here we know about these elders, and I believe the harps are symbolic of worship. That's why we have harp and bowl worship. That's what we moved into back in the 90s. We did harp and bowl worship, and the harps were the musical and the singing, and the bowls of incense are the prayers of the saints. So it's worship and prayer. And so we see that this authority that's around the throne of these 24 elders involves worship and involves prayers. It says, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe. Here it is. Purchased, and who's to be a part of this governing? From every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Do you see this? He's talking about they'll reign on the earth. We're not going to reign in heaven. God's already taken that. But he's given us authority, his authority, to bring everything into subjection to his government. Whoo! You know, it doesn't matter about which way the direction the elections go. I mean, it's important. We need to get involved. We're going to get involved. We need to know, you know, about the issues and the candidates. But that's not what's going to wrap this up. It's the church. It's the direction of the church. That's why all the politics and these things are trying to shut down the voice of the church. Everybody else can say whatever they want, but you can't say what you want. And when you want to say it. Okay, chapter 5, verse 13. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion, 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 government, government, forever and ever. And we say, you know, we're waiting for that to happen after the rapture. No, he wants it to happen before the rapture. We start to have dominion over the things on the earth. And the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. I mean, I can see it like this. Every time the angels worshiped him, the elders kept falling down. You talk about aerobic exercise. They get back up on their throne and the angels start worshiping again, they fall down. It's all about surrender. Amen. It's all about surrender. It's all about surrender unto him who is final authority. Casting your crowns and your accomplishments in him before the throne at his feet. And every time we worship, we're falling down before him and surrendering again. And so it's a process, because the increase of his government is never ending, and it's getting more and more.
Amen, amen.
Okay. Chapter 11. Verse 16 again, it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world, notice the kingdom of the world, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on the throne before God fell on their faces. Worship's a key. But if we're not surrendering and falling on our faces and surrendering to the ultimate, supreme God Almighty, the judge, his government, are you following this? 24 elders before the throne. Chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. Verse 10 says, and I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has thrown them thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Our testimony better be his word in our mouth. We're not talking about a testimony of just answered prayer. That's good and that encourages people, but that doesn't change people. The testimony that overcomes the devil is the testimony of God's word, saying the same thing that he says. Speaking his word. It's a sword of the Spirit in our mouth. The same sword that was in Jesus' mouth is now in our mouth. Thus saith the Lord. Let's go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verse 15 says this. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. So the two-edged sword is about war, so that he can strike down nations, and he will rule them, the nations that he strikes down, with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of his furious wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
That's how it's going to end up. Well, we know he comes back riding on that white horse. But look at the definition of this, what he comes back. The heaven was opened, and behold, verse 11, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. I'm going to tell you, when you put the word of God in your mouth, you're declaring war on the enemy. If there's any sin in our life, anything that's contrary to the word of God, when we start speaking the word, it's declaring war on that area. When you start to say, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory, you just declared war and the devil's going to try to take you out. If you keep standing on the word and declaring the word, he'll watch over his word. The trouble is we're double-minded. Today we're in the word, tomorrow, oh, what am I going to do? The word is true. It's true when you have nothing, and it's true when you have a lot. If you have nothing, it's just as true. My God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The enemy's going to come and hit you right there in the area of your finances. This time of year, get ready, because it's tax season. Don't fear. I don't fear doing my taxes. I get the report back and I take care of it, but he'll supply the need. If I do what I am in purity and righteousness, he'll cover all the things I don't know. And if I owe taxes, he can send me to get a coin out of the fish's mouth in the creek if he wants to.
Amen.
I mean, didn't Jesus do that? Peter says, hey, we're going to pay our taxes. Jesus says, I'll tell you what to do. Go down and go fishing. You fish pretty good, and first fish you get, take that coin out, go pay my taxes and pay yours too. Come on. The word is the same. Amen. If you have plenty or have lack, it's the same. Look at verse 21. This is verse 19. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized with him, the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. These two were thrown alive in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. I'm going to tell you, we're going to see that we're moving in a time when judgment begins in the house of God. We quote that scripture, but we kind of act like we're exempt from the judgment that's coming against the world. And I want to tell you, you know, God's a loving God, but he's also a righteous God, and he's a judge. And what he's doing right now is he's judging. And it says those, in fact, let me find the scripture real quick for you. Let's go to, I think I wrote this one down. Chapter Yeah, chapter 19, verse 7, before we got into the horse coming. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready, and it was given to her to clothe herself in linen, bright and clean, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So we see that the bride chooses to make herself ready for the marriage feast and the marriage of the Lamb. We've already been given all authority.
That's right.
I'm not going to get any more saved than I'm saved right now. He is the righteousness, but I'm telling you, he's coming back to judge those things that don't line up with his righteousness in our life. Starting with what's on the inside, our thought. Renew our minds.
Yes.
Pure in heart. Clean hands, that's our habits, that's our actions, that's how we treat each other. That's why I want to tell you, this year, stay in the Proverbs.
Yes.
Stay in the Proverbs because it talks about the righteous acts of God, what it looks like. And then what do? He says, once he reveals something to you that stands out, that says, whoa, what do? You repent.
Yes.
And in that repentance, he begins to put on a new thought pattern. He needs, and with the new thought pattern comes new lifestyle, new habits.
Yes, yes.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a year of growing pains in the spirit. When he reveals something, man, it hurts. It ought to hurt. But does it hurt so much that you hate it the way God hates it? Are you listening?
Yes.
This is a year of government, a year of 24. And he's telling us, he's starting with us, and he's saying, hey, man, come on, church. I've given you assignment. Amen? I washed you. In fact, if you read in Revelations, there's a scripture that says that he'll wash you in the blood to make you white as snow.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because only those that have been given the white linen, symbolic, and you go to Ephesians chapter 5, a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's why brides are dressed in white. It's symbolic of purity and righteousness. Amen? And he's coming back for a bride. Amen? This is a year of a war of government, and it starts with governing ourselves on the inside. That's why government from the outside can never change you, or seldom changes you. I mean, I stop at a traffic light, but it's not because the light turns red, it's because of the fear of God. No one may be watching me, and I think, why do I have to sit here? And I count 1,045, 1,046, 1,047. I could have been a mile down the road. This is a year where he's judging the intentions of our heart, it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The motives of our heart. This is a year he's going after the government of God on the inside of us, so that we can rule and reign with him on the outside. So we can influence our family. We can influence our neighborhoods. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to be talking about, you know, going into the order of Melchizedek, because that's the order we're to be operating in. It shifts us from a different kind of intercessory prayer. And Prophet Susie's not here, but I'll tell you, every week she makes declarations over the city of Detroit. She says this year she's targeted just for the city of Detroit. But what she's doing, she's releasing, and it's declaring war on the enemy over this region. It will expose, but it's war. But if we stay in it, we know the results. Amen? He watches over his word. And it will not return empty. It may take 40 years. It may take 120 years, but His word will not return empty. Amen. And this year He's shifting us around. Paul told Timothy, he says, fight in 1 Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of faith. That tells me there's a bad fight of faith. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. And I wrote this down this morning as I came in. It says in 1 John 5:4, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He's bringing us back to faith in God. And that's why we started, I believe, the new year off with Mary in Luke chapter 1. It says all things or nothing is impossible with God. And that word nothing is. No spoken word or no fresh word that comes out of the mouth of God is impossible. And all things, then it says in Mark, all things are possible to those who believe. That means all things are possible if we stay in faith and stay believing. The war is going to be a war on our faith.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank You in this new year that we're entering in, Father, with hearing winds of change. We hear, Father, and know that we're in a war in the natural, but war in the heavenlies, war in the spiritual. And yet, Father, we thank You that, Father, You said the increase of Your government, that government rests upon the shoulders of Your Son. And the increase and peace of Your government, there would be no end. And so, Father, we thank You that we're living in an accelerated time of growing pains, acceleration, of growing, Father, and in the government of God on the inside of us. And so we say, Father, start with us right now. Let us begin to govern our thoughts. Let's begin to govern our actions and take accountability. And let us, Father, be that generation, that people that answer the question, who may ascend into the hill and come into the Holy of Holies? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Father, we thank You that we're living in an opportune time, that You've opened the windows of heaven and revelation of, Father, Your church that You're preparing without spot and without wrinkle, Your bride. And Father, we thank You that the elders around the throne, 24 elders, that Father, every time that they entered in or heard the angels say, holy, 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 they fell on their faces and they cast their crowns before Jesus' feet, who's the center of all authority in heaven and on earth. And so we thank You that in this accelerated time, Father, of increase of Your government, we thank You that we take time to hear Your voice. We thank You that, Father, the voice of God is at war, Father, with the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. Thank You that Your word is the sword of the Spirit. And it's a two-edged sword that's not only in Your mouth, but we're putting Your word in our mouths. That when we speak, Father, all authority in heaven and earth stands behind us. Thank You that when we speak, Father, principalities and powers of darkness recognize that we're speaking out of authority because we're under authority. And I thank You that, Father, Matthew chapter 8 and the centurion soldier who came to Jesus to heal a servant, and he said, I'm not worthy for You to come under my roof, but just speak the word only, for I'm a man under authority. So this is going to be a year, Father, that we're going to understand to be under the ultimate authority of God gives us authority. That when, Father, we surrender to You, then we're empowered with authority to speak Your word and represent You accurately. And that You, Father, work with us with signs and wonders and miracles. So we thank You. We're going to see an acceleration of of the supernatural, signs, wonders, and miracles. We're not going to wait for them to happen, but Father, as we speak, you're going to watch over. You're going to hear your word, that your angels are hearkening unto the voice of your word in an accelerated time this year right now. They're waiting. They're hearing the thus saith the Lord. They recognize those in authority, and we thank you, Father, that it's establishing the kingdom not only in us, but establishing the kingdom in the earth. And so we thank you for this Melchizedek order, the order, Father, of kings and priests, that Father Jesus is coming back. On his thigh will be written, King of kings and Lord of lords, King over all kings and Lord over all lords. So we thank you that we surrender unto him this year. That Father, I pray that as we go through the book of Proverbs, that Father, it's your voice speaking to us. It's not just reading for more information. It's not reading to know about you, but it's reading to encounter you. And so I thank you, Father, for just revealing, Father, mindsets, revealing, Father, habits and situations and lifestyles that, Father, that are not pleasing to you. That, Father, when they're exposed, we hate what you hate. And in it, Father, we begin to love what you love. And so we thank you. We bless you right now. We thank you. This is a year of transformation. This is a year that we're going from glory to glory, strength to strength, and faith to faith. And so we recognize, Father, the war is a war over your word and a war over, Father, faith. So we thank you that we fight the good fight of faith. That this year is a year, Father, of overcoming, Father, those things that have lingered and, Father, just worn us even down. So we thank you for a refreshing coming in right now. A fresh, Father, faith breathing upon us right now. We thank you that nothing, no fresh word is impossible for you, and nothing is impossible to us who believe. So we thank you, we honor you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Ooh, going to be a fast year, so it's going to be a fast work also. You know, you say, well, you know, I got a long way to go. Welcome to the party, you know.
Suddenly.
So stand up. Let me pray over you. If you have pain in your body, you want to pray over you, just raise your hand and acknowledge that, and we're going to pray over you. If you don't raise your hand, we're not praying over you. So if you have some pain or something in your body, Father, I thank you right now. Your word is true, and you watch over your word. And you said, Father, ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and it shall be open. So I ask you right now and declare, I command pain go right now. Healing come in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every sickness, every disease in the name of Jesus, every pain. Line yourself up now, for these are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we receive healing now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just tell you a challenge I have, and I just even broke it just then. So let me pray over you. Jesus didn't pray over anybody for healing. He told him to be healed.
That's right.
It was a command. It was not, you know, if you want prayer, he's going to break that.
That's good.
The only time that I know in Scripture where it says, you know, you can pray over as you call for the elders to pray over you and anoint you. The rest of the time, Jesus, because why? He knew he had authority.
Yeah.
So in the name of Jesus, be healed.
Amen.
Amen. I command healing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness and plowing through this, and have a great day. Greet two or three people, you know, and bless them. And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.